Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and hosted by, well, the one guy who knows everybody. He's going to prove that today here, John Gutierrez.
Welcome, everybody, again to our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce podcast show, where our community is your community. With us today, we have another great guest. A community leader, I'd like to say. She's somebody that was referred to us by one of our longtime members, our friend Terry, and Veronica Guillen is with us today. She's a creative mortgage lending strategist, specializes in creative financing, private money, and deal structuring for real estate investors, known for scaling loan production, building high-value referral networks, and closing complex deals. Delivers clear tactical timing and structure to win in competitive real estate markets. Welcome, Veronica Guillen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I hope I said all that right.
I know, it was a mouthful.
Yes, yes. And I didn't have my glasses on. I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for joining our chamber. We were sitting here chatting before the show and giving the history of it all. And of course, our mutual friend, Terry, right?
Yes, yes. We love Terry.
So shout outs to her.
Terry.
Yes, who is now a doctor, right?
She has her PhD.
Yes.
She's a doctor and she has her own practice out in New York.
Yes. So hopefully we'll have her on one day also. And first and foremost, you know, we just want to thank you for joining our chamber and our family. We like to call it our business family. Yeah. And what we'd like to do in the show before we get into all this really cool financial stuff that you're going to share, right, with us.
Yes, definitely.
That you do as far as the community and in your business. Mm-hmm. We'd like to get to know you as a person.
Okay.
And share with us a little bit about where you grew up and obviously how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So I'm a real person and everything. I actually grew up in East LA. I went to Shore High School in Montebello, so
okay.
I'm a native out in the East LA area. Yeah,
nice. That's actually where my wife was born, East
really?
LA.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No silver spoon here. Everything was from the ground up. Everything.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Were you there for a few years and eventually moved, or you were there pretty much? You were raised there.
Yeah, raised there, and then we moved out towards the Inland Empire, more towards 2007-8 era.
What was that like at that time?
Oh, God, it was a lot of space.
It was still growing.
It was definitely growing. It was a growing community, yeah.
I know you mentioned earlier before the show, you're out in the Rancho Cucamonga area, and we love going out there to the Bass Pro Shop. It's such a beautiful store.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
And throughout the years, I've seen how much it's grown.
For sure, yeah, big stuff. Yeah, now there's, it's not huge LA, but it's a mini Irvine. You can compare it slightly.
What was that like growing up, transitioning from the LA to the Inland Empire?
You know what? I can say that I love LA. That's one of my roots and everything, the struggles and everything, but I love the Inland Empire, the space, and things are newer, and it's a slower pace. Mm-hmm. For sure, it's a slower pace, but I love it.
What do you see as far as a lot of the real estate development out there? Because it's booming, right?
It's huge, yeah. There's pockets just every other city. You have your not-so-great areas, but then you have your great areas. But there's a lot of, and I'm doing a lot of the construction out there. I'm doing a lot of loans for those builders, which is great.
So share with us how you ended up into the industry you're in now, and share with everybody what exactly is that industry about, and obviously what you're doing in, as far as business-wise.
Business-wise, so I am in a very male-dominated arena. When I first started, I was told to go home. I didn't know what I was doing, and it hurt. But hey, more fuel to the fire, definitely more fuel. I did have to struggle and learn my routes and learn it all. I had to really dig in there.
Did you have any mentors that
I did not. Yeah. I actually do. So I had people in my area. So I do have Ryan Garland. I'll give you a little shout out, Ryan Garland. Mm. He taught me fix and flip. Yanni, he's a big investor as well. He's the one that told me, hey, you'd be great at hard money. I was like, what's that? And he explained to me, and I was like,
what is hard money?
Hard money is, so you have your typical banks. You have your typical banks, so you qualify with tax returns, and then you have credit unions, same thing. Mm-hmm. I do everything that's not on their table. Mm-hmm. So I do hard money, private money, creative financing. So when you don't qualify the regular traditional route with no tax returns, that's one avenue. Okay. Hard money is where you're trying to do an investment, and there's institutions that will lend you different parameters. Yeah. So if you want to do an investment property, that's one. Private money is me literally calling up a friend and telling them, let me borrow $500,000 at these terms. And it's a yes or a no.
Who determines those terms?
They do.
Really?
But they're typical terms. We can bend them. We can ask for certain leverage, different leverage, and it depends on the particular deal. I work a lot with private money, hard money, ground-up construction. I do a lot of whatever the banks don't have is what I have.
Do you, in essence, I guess you could say, go and try to meet with some of these bankers and then say to them, hey, if you can't do X, Y, Z...
I've done that a lot. Yeah, okay. I do that a lot. I do a lot of collaborations, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. When they can't do the deal, they hit me up just to make sure the client gets what they're looking for. Definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of that?
Oh, yeah. I did very blessed. I did really well last year, close to 100 loans.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're doing, on average, that's 10 loans a month. That's a lot, right?
Yeah. I think it is for the norm. I think it is. Not
I
to
feel
compare.
Like you're... It's a puzzle. You're like piecing it all together,
oh,
would you say?
Oh, for sure. So I get the hardest deals ever and under the biggest stress, and whether or not someone can close it, all the stress is on me. So it's, Veronica, I need to close this deal in 3 days. I could do it.
Give us an example. If somebody's out there listening, watching, give the audience an example of if somebody's out there and they're having these XYZ challenges, they can call you for that reason.
So let's say that you're trying to buy an investment property, you don't qualify with tax returns. There's 5 or 6 different loan options that I have that will help you out. Don't need no tax returns. I don't even want to see the tax returns. Veronica, I want to start doing investment properties, fix and flip. That's great. All you need is 10% down, a 720 credit score, a LLC or a corp, and I could do it without an appraisal. And I give you the rehab money. So let's say, Veronica, I want to start flipping, but I only have, let's say 15%, right? That'll work. And I also finance you the rehab fund. So you do the work and I reimburse you for it.
Earlier before the show, we talked about how we have an amazing youth chamber and how these podcast shows play a huge role in them learning as far as what's happening in our industry. Obviously, as a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're always accommodating the community with different situations, ideas, resources, right? So if one of these youth chamber people were listening to you right now, explain to them why flipping is so big right now. Because my wife and I love watching the flip shows, by the way. We love it.
Oh, yes.
Why is that industry booming so much, would you say?
Because there are a lot of properties out there. And this is a big thing, too, that I am doing. People that have properties, they want to start flipping. You don't have to flip it. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy a property and you want to add an ADU, I can give you the funding for that at the time of purchase.
For those that don't know, I know what an ADU is.
Yes.
What is an ADU?
As an additional dwelling unit or attached dwelling unit. So let's say you find a house that's not in the best condition. I will give you the money to fix that house and build a separate house if you'd like to do that too.
To create an extra income.
Exactly. Help you offset that. Yeah. So this is where the BRR, it's buy, rehab, refinance, repeat. That's what you do there. So you buy the property, you rehab it, we refinance, you keep it, you're now starting your portfolio, and you do it again.
Which you would say Riverside has so much land and so many, like the Inland Empire. That's a good place to be, right?
Yes, for that, definitely.
Because a lot of people might be adding ADUs and
or
fixing up the house. Mm-hmm. Or
I've done a few deals. Tarek Masood?
Yes.
Okay, so I've done, he has a wholesale division. So I've done a few deals for his team.
No way.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do an event for Fix and Flip for those that want to learn the options for loans for the fiction, what you can do, how you can get into it. I actually asked Tarek if he'll be there. We're shooting for the end of February.
For those of you that don't know who he is, he's very popular on TV, his show, Flipping Properties, right? And it's very interesting because a lot of his properties were like, I remember Garden Grove, Anaheim.
It's local for you
guys. It wasn't just like Newport, right? Everybody thinks it's, for some reason, it was in an area that there's got to be potential, right?
Westminster, Costa Mesa,
My wife and I would watch the show and we're like, he's right down the street here.
Yes.
We're in Irvine, but he's in Garden Grove. And this is a huge show. A lot of people, right?
Yeah. It's fixed flip or flop.
Yes.
Flip or flop,
Now, let's just say like Mr. Paul Roberts here had $50,000 sitting in his back pocket.
Yeah.
What?
Part of retirement.
What? Join the show.
And he wanted to invest.
Yes.
And doesn't want to be worried about flipping and all that. He just wants to invest.
So I have
Somebody do something like that?
That is another avenue. And I've done this strategically on purpose. I have so many people like Robert.
Paul Roberts. Yes, Mr. Paul Roberts.
I'll go buy anything you want. If you can give me money, you can call me anything you want.
Okay, we're going to do that.
If you got $50,000, why not? Like, investment.
I'll give you an example. So my son-in-law is your dream customer. Okay. He's a young guy. He manages a bank.
Okay.
And so he's got a little cash. He's coming in. And first thing he does is not what I would have done when I was his age. He bought a rental property over in Santa Ana.
Okay.
Run down.
Nice.
But he got in and he qualified. And so that's the first of what he hopes to be many. And it's got a big lot because it's in Santa Ana, and he keeps thinking about putting an ADU in the back.
That's right here.
Yeah. You have Veronica connect with her.
And he didn't know how to finance that. Was he just barely qualified to get this other? He's got a condo he owns.
Yeah.
And rather than my world, you sold what you had and you moved up. He says, no, I want to build a portfolio. Exactly. I want to keep them all.
Yeah, that's the BRR method. Yeah. So at the time of purchase, and that's something I try to get out there so much, I broadcast it. At the time of purchase is when I can give you the money for the ADU. Once you've already purchased the property, more than likely you got a 30-year loan on it. Mm. And that's where it's, oh, you know what? I already invested my 10% down. We need closer to 15% down when you're doing an ADU. Mm.
Oh, what's really? The average cost of an ADU? Like $100,000 or something?
It's about $150,000 if you just keep it basic.
$150,000 for an ADU?
$150,000 is the basic.
Wow.
Basic.
And how big are they? 10 by 20 or something?
They're 700 square feet.
Yeah.
Tiny. Okay. Yeah.
700 square feet?
Yeah.
Is that like the size of two garages or something, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. About that.
Two garages. Mm-hmm. Right?
And do they go up sometimes? Rather?
Because you were thinking go
maybe over, because there's old garages in the back, and you thought maybe you could take that down and go up?
Yeah, you can definitely go vertical. It's what the city allows, what your zoning allows. The city, it's a lot of in between. So I have contractors everywhere in every city, all over Southern
California. So you have those resources.
Oh, yeah.
This is important for anybody listening or watching that says, I want to do this.
Yeah.
You already have those resources.
I do.
So they don't have to be trying to find somebody.
No, my whole thing.
Because on this show of, Tariq, that we were talking about, that was what he was mentoring people on if you pick the wrong person and they don't know what they're doing as far as permits, city zoning.
They start and stop and they get another job and they disappear on you. And
100%.
And you end up spending twice what you had planned for.
Just did a video on that. Like when people start flipping, they're like, they're going to go with the cheapest guy. I wouldn't do that. Hold up. Pump your brakes.
Because he doesn't show up. All of a sudden, he's got another job.
Exactly.
And you're like, where are you?
He's like, all right, I'll do it for $20,000, knowing he should charge $30,000. But because he's doing you a favor, favors cost more in the long run.
Wow. Did you hear what she just said? Yeah. Favors cost more in
and
the long run.
And it's like an assembly line. Yeah. So if he doesn't come out and pour the concrete, they can't do the next step. They can't fix the next thing. And so all of a sudden, you're all backed up. And all these other guys saying, hey, I'm out of here because I
think he's watched the shows, huh?
I've seen people do this.
I think he's watched
the shows. I got a question for you. Why did, when ADUs were passed, the so-called granny rooms or whatever, you put your grandma and you put your mother in the back or something, or other tenants.
Uh-huh.
I thought, it's particularly in the older communities, the Fullertons, the Costa Mesas, the Westminsters, where there were big lots in the old days, big enough to do this.
The nanny's quarters.
Why didn't everybody jump and do this? Because I don't know anybody that's built one.
Where's the governor, the city council? Where's he at? Can we ask him?
Yeah.
Let's ask him. That's a question for him.
A lot of it is zoning.
Zoning has a lot to do with
it. You can't just do it anywhere and everywhere.
I don't know any...
Because parking, they're afraid suddenly there's too many parking and too much traffic.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, the city only wanted so many. And now there's new programs out there that allow you to start building. They want you to start building ADUs out there. But that's a process on its own. And you have to qualify with tax returns and pay stubs, and that's the route that I choose. The least of less resistance is a path I try to do, and that one is a lot of qualifications, and you got to qualify the long-term route. It's available. I can do that, but be prepared to struggle with the process.
Because where you live in Irvine, and where I live in South County, there's not enough land. These houses fill up the whole lot.
Of course not.
Oh, they're so tiny. Yeah,
I mean, and probably Irvine is really strict on stuff like that, I would imagine. Yeah. There's certain cities that are a little bit more friendly.
We're all looking
for sure, what they're wanting to grow.
They want to add affordable housing. This is an affordable housing option for most people because it's a cheaper place to rent or whatever here.
Yeah.
So you think it would be part of the program. And I thought it would be, and my impression is, they aren't really building that many. So am I wrong? Are they building tons of these ADUs?
There's a lot in LA County. There's a lot of LA in LA County for sure. And again, Inland Empire, we're seeing a lot of it. There is more land and out there, they're doing it that way. LA, they're doing a lot of vertical. they are adding the garage, the detached garage, into an ADU and adding another one on top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, so
my son-in-law was talking about.
So,
yeah. And what do you get for an ADU? How much do you rent it for these days?
Totally depends on the area.
No. It depends in the area, yeah.
It's just like another.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in Irvine it's very different than in, let's say, Santa Ana.
Or even Inland Empire.
Inland Empire, yeah.
Oh, it could be the exact same square footage. Ours is newer. You're in Irvine, you're going to get more anyways.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, is what is that old saying?
Everything location, right? Location.
Is that true? That's what
so
I hear on the
true.
Show all the time, location.
Do you ever
so
tell
true.
People no? Do you ever go in and say, I don't think you should do this?
That's one of my favorite words. I always say, nope. I know what I can get into. I know if my hands are in there, it's going to get done. Like, my word is strong, and I know where to put my energy and my effort.
Because too many lenders are the opposite. Sure, I can do it. Then you get into it, and it's a nightmare, and you waste all this time, and maybe you miss closing and all the other
Absolutely
stuff here.
Absolutely not.
Because they just give you a little baloney.
I'd rather tell you that we can't do it because of this. If someone else can do it, great, but this is a problem. This is a struggle. I can see right
up. Well, I think also you have to look at time is money, right?
Yeah.
And so if it's going to delay things because of permits and mm-hmm. zoning and things like that, and so you already know, right?
Oh, yeah.
What the formula is.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Where you should and shouldn't get involved, like you said.
Yeah.
The path is, like you said, easier, right?
Of course, yeah. I could tell you, hey, we can do this, we can try this, but this is an obstacle I foresee. Mm-hmm. If you're prepared for this, or we can think of a way around this, then great. Whether it's credit, FICO, or we need more money, something of that nature, then we can attempt it. Okay, you know what? I don't have that right now. I have it in 2-3 weeks, a month. Great, let's retry this
maybe this is probably more than you're supposed to, but do you analyze the deal? Do you say, this doesn't pencil out?
100%, yeah.
You want to do this, really? Well, let's go find something else here, because I can maybe get you the money, but I don't know if this is going to pay off in the long run.
I won't give you the money if we don't see the long term. I want to get paid.
Yes.
As the lender, we want to make sure that you have a way out to pay us out. It's not the risk.
You don't want to foreclose and take these over.
We don't want that. No, absolutely not. No.
What's a risk, right? You're taking all the risk.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, whoever's putting up the money
exactly
is taking all the risk. And I think the other thing that's important to mention is, I heard this earlier. You said sometimes it's easier if ahead of time you would have purchased, like to your son-in-law's point. Yeah. He already has the property, as opposed to if he was going to buy a new property, it's
in the
so much easier.
It's in the package already ahead of time.
Exactly.
Right. You said that earlier, as opposed to now.
Yeah.
It's a little different formula.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, completely different. It's completely different. Once you already own the property and you want to add an ADU, okay, this is a different route. Okay, now we got to see, when did you buy it? How much did you buy it for? What is it worth? What do you owe on
it? Because you're pulling equity. Is that why?
We are looking at the current equity, and also we're going to look at the future value. If you live in the property, these loans don't apply to you. These loans do not apply to you. You can't live in the property, and we do a hard money loan.
Why is that?
Because in 2008, when the crash happened, banks got sued because we didn't verify that they could qualify.
Oh,
with income.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
The
stated income.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as investors, as lenders, we don't verify income, but it must be an investment property. That's the exception to the rule.
Okay. So the person that is investing cannot live in that property.
Correct.
Interesting.
It has to be an investment property. Yeah. You can't live in the... If you want to build an ADU and you live in the property, the only way to do it is refinance, cash out, or
get a second loan, basically.
Yeah,
on the house.
A HELOC, a second loan, yeah. That's the only way to do it. Yeah. When it's an investment property, options open. Now there's more... We do require more money down. However, we can extend it certain different ways to do it. So different parameters.
Can I ask you another tough question
of
here,
course.
Since we're asking them all here?
Yes. I'm in the hot seat.
Hey, she's going to start charging us here.
I'm getting a free referral hug. I'm talking to my son-in-law.
Yeah.
My assumption is that the hard money costs more.
It does.
Of course. That's why it's called hard money.
Of course.
Right.
It does.
Yes.
Yep.
So the bank is, if you can get the bank, that's the cheaper loans. But if you can't qualify, you go to people like you to find the more creative private
financing. Yeah, it's the offset for not verifying income. You're going to pay, I don't know how much money you make, but based on the equity you have and what you're investing into it, that's the risk I'm taking. And in lieu of not verifying tax returns, you get a higher rate.
Okay.
Can we ask ballpark, like what the rates go?
Ballpark 10%.
10%.
Versus 7%, 8%.
And how many years is that?
1 year, interest only, no prepay. You could pay it off whenever you want, but you have up to 1 year to pay it off.
1 year.
Yeah. Sometimes 2 years if you're building an
ADU. So that's where you got to flip it probably or something.
Flip it or refi.
So you're saying if it's, are we talking like $500,000? Like
how many? I've done loans for $2 million like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they got to pay it back in 1 year?
Yeah. I actually lie. I've done one for 5.8 8 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're assuming then that they can either sell it for more than that within the year.
Absolutely.
Or they, because now they're in it, they can refi.
Wow.
Yes.
This seems very stressful.
It is. Yeah.
That's a lot of money that I have to flip right away.
Think about the payment itself, $50,000 a month.
What?
Because it's just interest.
It's just interest. And so the balance never goes
mio.
Up. Yeah, those are people. Yeah.
A little sign of the cross there.
I would just not be able to sleep. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there you go.
But these are investors.
Yeah. Yep. Used to investors, they've done this before.
When you say investors, is it like a group of them? Or is it just
individual.
One person that just says, hey, here's...
I've had all of it. I've had groups where you have four people in the mix. I have one individual, like I said, out in Rancho. That man is...
Yeah.
Booming. And it's just him. And he has his three sons that are helping.
Wow.
But that man is a wow.
But I think on the other side, it's very interesting that people like yourself have to have a really good, tight network of resources, right?
Yeah.
Because now you're also possibly recommending that, I don't know, carpenter, that painter, that contractor, right? All these people that do these things.
Yeah.
So it's good for anybody watching or listening that...
Yes.
You are that person that could potentially give them, I don't know, a job opportunity, right?
Oh, for sure. It's network. That's why we're here. The more, and I always say this, the more you know, the more you grow, the more we grow together. I'm always preaching that. But for sure, this is did not happen overnight. This is 15 years into this.
Really?
Yeah, I've been doing this for a minute.
What would you say, Veronica, today, 15 years later, how different is she from 15 years ago when you first started?
Oh, man, she was a mocosa. She was a little
I don't know
girl.
What that means. Oh, all right.
She was a juvenile.
She was a rookie.
Yeah,
she was
real
the rookie.
Rookie.
Like stepping up to the plate with a rookie. Now she's a veterana.
Yeah, exactly. I got the stripes. Literally, I got the stripes.
Would you say you've learned a lot?
I have learned a lot. The one thing I'm going to tell you is what was engraved in my head is you work hard today for an easier tomorrow. And I always say tomorrow's not here yet. Yeah, I always do that. I'm working harder, working harder. Tomorrow's going to be easier. Tomorrow's going to be for tomorrow to be easier. And then when Friday comes, it got easier, but Monday.
I want to go back before we end the show because we only have a few minutes.
Okay.
But I want to go back to you said something earlier about how you entered a male dominant industry.
Yeah.
What would you say to that little girl listening to you right now? What would you say to her that, hey, when I came in this industry, like, this is what I had to overcome. What would you say to that little girl right now?
Who's being told, you can't do that.
Oh, no, girl, don't stop.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's, yeah, that's definitely, don't stop, girl. Don't stop, yeah.
And eventually people, like, see you for who you are. Like, you earn your respect, right?
Oh,
you earn
for sure.
Your seat in the table, right?
Oh, I got my own table.
She doesn't have a seat. She
got my own table.
But I'm saying at the beginning.
Oh, for sure. I wanted to get in there. But that's the thing. I wanted so hard to fit in when I said, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to get my own table. And there, sure enough, I had all the... Now, these days, I have all this respect and all this...
She's the boss woman now.
Yeah. Made my table. I got my table and it's the king table.
I wonder who sits at that table now.
I don't know.
I'd like to see that.
Bunch of other powerful women, I'll bet, here.
Yeah.
Right.
I am such an empowering person. I'm so women empowerment. And I tell this to everybody. If you guys have any product, any new business, tag me. Tag me. I'll support you. Are you selling Herbalife? I'll buy something. Are you selling jewelry? I'll buy something.
That's great.
Yeah. What do you need? It costs me absolutely nothing to reshare something on social media, and it's such a big platform.
Who was that woman you had in here that had some sort of women's empowerment conference or something?
We have lots actually at the chamber, which is great. I'm so excited that Veronica has joined our chamber because she has a really good amount of following.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we talked earlier, we have a great mentorship program through our youth chamber. A lot of young ladies and men, of course, come through our youth chamber, and we do a big women's empowerment event that's coming up, I think I mentioned to you, at Chapman University with our youth chamber, with John Amador, our lead advisor who runs that mentorship program.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be good for you all to talk and meet because they're always looking for speakers and panelists.
Yeah, 100%.
To speak about what you just did, obviously, in 30 minutes, we try to share your journey.
Yeah.
The tough part of stepping into a table or a room or whatever it is, a meeting, and you're like the minority in the room.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And what it took for you to overcome that, because that's what I think the next generations need to know.
Building
resilience.
Yeah.
Right?
It takes a lot of no's, and shake it off. Mm-hmm. Shake it off. I send out 40,000 emails a month, and I have 3 Instagram accounts, and I have LinkedIn, and I have YouTube, and I have TikTok. And there's a lot of rejection out there, but so what? It comes with the territory. If it wasn't there, how do you know that you're growing?
Do you feel that the social media has really helped open your business, grow your business?
1,000%. 1,000%. And it's doing the work. You have to get out there. Who's going to know what you do if you don't tell nobody?
The marketing, right?
Yeah, the marketing, 100%.
See, Paul, and you didn't want to listen to me about this whole thing.
I didn't get it.
I don't know where it's at. You can tell when people are focused on it. She comes in right away. She's, I got to do some little snippets. I got to do some shorts.
She's taking photos and videos.
I'm ready. This is marketing 101.
Me and Paul were like sucking the stomachs. She's taking pictures of us, videos.
Say cheese.
We can't wait to see the after clips, you know.
Because too many people come in here and expect this. You have an audience, John. Yeah. We have an audience at OC Talk Radio. So I'm going to go and talk to your audience. And boy, I hope they'll call me. Mm. She's, that's great. But I'm also going to take control of this and use this content for my own channels, my
you
own
have to.
Audience.
And you have to use what you get. And nothing here is for free. It's hard work.
Do you have an event coming up? Because I saw something, or did that just pass?
That just passed. It was a women's empowerment event with Mario Arizon. Yeah, he's a great guy. I want to get him on the show for you, too.
Yes, we'd love to meet him.
Tarek, we would love to. We've never had him
you guys
on
have
any
to get
of our
him.
Shows.
I know, that would be great to have him on the show.
I'll give you the contact info. Yeah,
please do.
Yeah.
Reach out to him. Let him know that right here at UCI in the city of Irvine.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Everybody's
community.
Fascinated with that. I don't know that flipping is what it was anymore.
It's died down a lot. It really has, for sure.
And his name is Tarek.
Tarek El Masoud.
Yes.
Tarek, I think, yeah.
Veronica, thank you so much for being on the show. I know it goes by so fast. I think most importantly for anybody, you know, listening or viewing, where could they find you? Where would you like people
where
to send you a message?
Where can they find her?
I'm everywhere. Yeah, if you find me, there's something
wrong.
Share
with everybody your contact as far as like your Instagram maybe.
Instagram is Close with Veronica. Website is closewithveronica.com.
And let's spell it because I foolishly thought it was like
it's not close.
Close you where?
Yeah, not
it's close. Like close the door.
Close the door.
Close
yeah.
the deal.
You close
so
the door.
C-L-O-S-E.
Yes, Close with Veronica. Yeah, close the door. Close it.
Yes, and you have a good amount of followers on your social media.
I'm proud of what I have. Yeah, yes. Definitely. Yeah. We got to start somewhere. Yeah.
We wish you all success. Thank you for joining our chamber. Our goal is to get you involved with a lot of our community events. And if anybody has any questions, wants to connect with Veronica, please leave us a message or tag us wherever it is. Share the video. I think we shared a lot of good information. I learned a lot today, Paul. Wow.
Good.
It's interesting. Right. This conversation has been coming up a lot recently in the city here with different people, even with families. Maybe Paul will refer you to the son-in-law over there.
Yes.
We should have talked to you beforehand because that's his long-range plan. And
but it's never too late.
Never. Exactly. Never too late. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys can put money in the pot together and then you can do another one.
She says that so casually.
I know.
That's his view. That's
you're the father-in-law. Put up some money, man. That 401k. We know you got that 401k, Paul.
What good is doing me just sitting back there, right?
Yeah. Well, folks, I want to thank you all for viewing us again, for listening to our show here at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community. Thank you, Veronica, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll love to have you back again.
Thank you so much.
All right, Mr. Paul Roberts, take it away.
Wow, that's a lot to digest, but that's what we do each and every week. Join us as we talk about our community and what's happening in it and the people making it happen, like our guest today here. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation.